Well, then let's turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we'll read the first five stanzas. Psalm of David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, in this psalm, I think we can detect that King David, who wrote it, is oozing with energy. He's got something to say with urgency, with fervor, and what he says is, we have to bless God. We have to bless God. The Psalter, that version, which we'll sing at the end, tells us that we have to stir ourselves up to do it. Be stirred up, his holy name, God's holy name, to magnify him, to make him great, to make him big in our mind, in our estimation, and in our life. David is throbbing, as it were, with excitement at his comprehension of his God and Saviour and security. He's full of gratitude, full of thankfulness. That's the theme we want to talk about. Thankful we ought to be for so many things. And David has this spirit of thankfulness. And he wants to demonstrate it. He wants to tell the world about how great God is and how thankful he is to God for being the God that he is. And if you're a Christian, you too have the same reasons that he has to be thankful. And we should be thankful. If we believe in Jesus Christ, his son came to save us just through our faith in him, just through our believing in him, that we're saved and forgiven for all eternity with a tremendous, never-ending future of bliss, as the saints have, then we have every reason to have the same spirit that David has here, spirit of thankfulness. When you praise God, you feel better. And you are better, because we're made for praising God. God made everything for his glory, that he would feel good about it, that he would rejoice in it. And when what he's made praises him, he is exalted. He's exalted. And that should make us happy, and we are happier when we praise God. It helps us psychologically, and it helps us physically. It helps us physically, which we'll deal with in a few moments. But just to mention just now, the psalmist here, David here, certainly felt better physically in his body. He said, your youth is renewed like the eagles. Praising God's a recipe for staying young and feeling young. Now that should attract us. We're all oldies virtually, well, not all of us, but we should feel strengthened. We've got youth to be feel youthful again. As you get little waves of it now and again, even at my age, and you do. He'll renew your youth like the eagle when we praise God, when we give thanks to God. He said, Isaiah thought the same. He said that those who wait on the Lord, that's those who wait on the Lord, wait upon the Lord, not waiting for him as if he's not there, but he's going to come, but waiting on him, trusting on him, depending on him. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. God's word, not mine. God's word, not mine. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They'll not get tired. Isaiah 40, verse 31. And so it's not right for us to wish the years to pass quickly and to wish it was all over and just get to heaven. God has a purpose for us on earth, and we should aspire to spiritual greatness. Aspire to spiritual greatness and enthusiasm. Think of Paul and the troubles and the trials he had. Lashings, 5 times. He had 39 lashes. And what does he say? I press on. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. He knows there's a prize at the end in the life to come. New heavens and the new earth. There's blessings there waiting for us. I'm going to press on despite those lashings. Do you think he'd have stopped after 3 of them? And after 4 of them? And after 5 of them? But he still carried on after getting 5 lashings. 5 series of lashings. He loved God, didn't he? He believed God, didn't he? Well, the psalmist, it would seem, has realised that he was going through an old age thought process and that he was just coming out of it. He had been down in the dumps, it would seem. How did he get into the dumps? How did he feel depressed? We'll look at a moment at how he got out of it, but how did he get into it? Well, he got into it the same way as you get into it. And I get depressed and I get down. How was that? I just forgot reality. Forgot God's goodness to me. I forgot God's promises. Heaven, apart from promises in this life, I forgot the good things I have and will have. That you have in Christ. You have in the earth and you have in the promises of God. And so he says to himself, forget not all his benefits. Don't forget. You've forgotten. You're saved. You're going to heaven. You've got all the blessings of life, which we're just going to look at. David got used to the daily benefits that surrounded him. Like you and I, he took most of his comforts and blessings for granted. We do. How did David get out of it? How did he get out of being in the dumps? Well, by doing what the old hymn says. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Name them. Go over them. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Isn't that wonderful? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So before we look how best we might be able to thank God and to praise him, let's look at the many blessings David mentions here and which are true of you and I as well. 4 great blessings we take for granted. And the first one that we mention is food and drink. He mentions which satisfies your mouth. In the authorised version, the word mouth is used, although it's not in the Hebrew. It's meant, it's included with God satisfies our needs, our inward needs, food and drink. I don't think we realise how well off we all are in the Western world. The world's big, different parts of it are in utter poverty. Utter poverty. I think I might have mentioned to you before, but I certainly didn't realise, and I'm asking, do you realise that 315 million sub-Saharan Africans live on less than $1 a day? That's all they have for food and drink, clothing, heating, anything. $1 a day. 315 million Africans, sub-Saharan Africans at that, a section of them. 315 million. That's from reliable sources. Most of the world, 7 billion, isn't it? Well, over 3.5 billion people do not have the three things that I am certain that all of us have. There are three things that most of the world do not have together. They may have one, they may have two of them, but not the three of them. And these three things are clean drinking water. Clean drinking water. Do you ever think of that being a real mercy? 2 meals a day, nourishing meals a day. You can eat crusts and you can eat shells and so on, but not nourishing. Over half the world do not have clean water. 2 meals, nourishing meals a day. And the third thing is a roof over their heads. They might have a roof over their heads, but they don't have drinking water. They might have drinking water, but they don't have 2 meals a day. These three things, what blessings they are. We all have them. We should be thankful, shouldn't we? Over half the world. If you put all the names of someone in a big pot, took out one by one, you get less than half a chance of these three things. Isn't God good to us? To me? Praise, thanks, reason for praising and thanking God. Who's responsible for you being born in the UK and not in Somalia? Or one of those children that we can see in the television scrambling, fighting over one grain of rice. God did. He's a good God. He's a gracious God as far as we're concerned, isn't he? God's goodness. When you think of it, some of the biggest problems we have at the supermarket is deciding what to choose from the vast variety of goods. So there's thoughts. That's food and drink. That's one of the great blessings. Second one is health and strength. Now, there are people ill, sick, and in constant pain. God bless them. But for us, he heals all our diseases. It's a wonderful thing. There are within us a self-recuperating system of help. You get a cold, and you get better. You can have aspirins or paracetamol now, but it helps. Wonderful. Just at the chemist, round the corner. A cut, a bruise, heals. No problem. We're blessed with amazing amount of health and strength. And if we knew how the human body operates, some of you, of course, doctors and so on, will know how well, much more about our health system than that. But if we knew how our body works and all the connections and the dependent organs on one another and so on, it's a wonder we're not more sick more often. It's wonderful we're not more sick more often, because there's so many. God gives us health and strength. So that's a great blessing too. that we need to be thankful for: health and strength. Do you thank God for your health each day? The third matter that David mentions here in verse 4 is he redeems, he restores, he revives, he helps us from our life. We've got freedom and liberty. We have freedom and liberty that more and more people in the world do not have. Slavery is on the increase. There are more slaves now than ever. Oh, they're not Negroes in a boat, Roll. But they're locked into a situation. Trafficking, human trafficking, is on the increase. People are not free, but we are. Freedom. Our lives are free to do what we like. In North Korea, in Nigeria, everyone's under surveillance. There's a camera on them all the time. What are they reading? What are they studying? What are you speaking to? What do you say to that fellow? That's a reality for many, many people. So, that's a great blessing that we take for granted. I do, anyway. And we need to not to forget God's benefits. Fourth, forgiveness of sins. Who forgives all your iniquities? Verse 3. When David says in verse 10 of our chapter that God does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities, he means that God does not always chasten us for our sins. Because he does sometimes. His anger does not hold forever. He will not keep his anger forever. He lets us off. And sometimes he doesn't deal with us at all. He completely lets us off when we do wrong things. There are times like that. But sometimes he does. But it would seem from Scripture that sin brings illness to the body. Sin can bring illness to the body. David says it in Psalm 38. In Psalm 38, he writes clearly. He's in a real downer. He's complaining very much about his health. He said, "There is no health in my bones." And then what? "Because of my sin." There's no health in my bones because of my sin. Psalm 38. And he goes on and he says, "My wounds stink and they fester because of my foolishness." Jesus said to the man at the pool of Bethesda, remember the man was there 38 years. An angel, it would seem, came and would stir up the waters, and the first person who would go into the pool would be healed from whatever disease he had. And there was a row of people all around the pool waiting for the angel to come, whenever that would be. And the first person in, but this man couldn't get in. He didn't make it. He was there for 38 years when Jesus saw him and met him and spoke to him. He had compassion upon him. When he healed them, this is what he said to the man that had just been healed. Now he said, "Sin no more, in case a worse thing comes upon you." In case something else, if you sin, something worse could happen. Sin is connected with an illness. It would seem, God's word, not mine. David connects the healing of all our diseases with forgiveness of our sins. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. Verse 3. Isaiah, in looking to the future, to the golden days when Israel would be restored to favour and the nations would come and join Israel and there would be a great time on earth of blessing. Isaiah, foreseeing these days, says, No inhabitant will say then, I'm sick. For the people who dwell there will be forgiven their iniquity. Forgiveness brings healing to the sick. When we're forgiven, we become freer, we become better feeling physically and mentally. There's healing in forgiveness. The forgiveness of sins brings protection. There's a protection that God puts over each of his saints through forgiveness of sins. There's no harm. You see, God's a shield. Shields us from illnesses and sicknesses, but he shields us from many other dangers as well. Psalmist speaks of them falling on his left hand and his right hand. But he was kept. He was preserved. Forgiveness of sins brings many accompanying mercies and blessings. And then lastly, last blessing, he says, well, with it all, God crowns it all, to top it all. Verse 4, he floods us with love and compassion. Yes, God crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. He crowns the whole of life. Everything he gives you, he makes it even better by crowning it with his love, his tender love and his mercy. He says, how vast is the sum of them? How vast is the sum of them? If I would count them, they're more than the sand. More than the sand, he says. God's mercies. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon trucks overflow with abundance. Psalm 139. We can't just say that that's human progress. The world's getting better, we're conquering our environment, we're getting wiser and stronger and so on. No, we can't say that because there's millions, as we've said, who don't have these things. It's because of God's mercy that we do. Because of God's grace and God's love to us, deliberately, to each individual one of us, we enjoy all these mercies. And so we have so much to be thankful for. Just so much to be thankful for. And you know, when we are thankful to God, now, to God, you hear people say, oh, I should be thankful. And it's lovely to hear it even today, that people say, I'm thankful. Who is it to? Who are they thankful to? Now, obviously, they could be an individual as well, which we must thank them for it. But ultimately, it's from God. Ultimately, it's all from God. When we do that, when we recognise that God is the ultimate provider of every good thing, God has touched your heart. God has spoken to you. God has revealed himself to you. And you've responded. That's good. For you to acknowledge God, and be sure you do. Be sure you thank God for his mercies. It's a blessing. God is rewarded when you thank him, when you praise him. He enjoys that. That's why he made you. Well, let's conclude with three people we have to tell. First of all, we have to tell ourselves about God's mercies. In other words, we have to remind ourselves. Say to your soul, Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, he's speaking to himself. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's speaking to himself. He's saying, remind yourself of God's kindness to you in a personal way. Think of the things he's done for you personally since you were a child. Think of your life, and there'll be times and occasions when they could have been so, so different. But God arranged for it not to be so. And you are where you are, and you have been delivered from what you've been delivered, and God has given you blessings because of his love to you. Remind yourself of those occasions that God has been a blessing. Stir yourself up. See, David is saying, why in Psalm 42, why are you cast down? You have no reason to be sad. You have no reason. You're going to heaven. You've got blessings. You've forgotten the blessings you have, David. You haven't to worry about this, that. Awaken, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. Get up and sing to the Lord and praise the Lord. You've got every reason for it. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird? Get away off and get to heaven, forget about this world. It's not right. Enjoy God here. Honour God here. And remind yourself of his great blessings. Hope in God. Put not your trust in princes, in the government, in politicians. Oh, we've got a new government, we'll be all right. No way. We're just changing. We're just changing the problems. Our hope's in the Lord. Well, you tell yourself. Then, which I've touched on already, you tell God. Tell God you love him. Tell God you believe he is behind every good thing. Tell God you acknowledge and you've come to see that he was the one that was behind it all. You thought he was bringing a tragedy. You thought he was doing good, but he was doing good. You thought he was doing evil, but he was doing good. In the long run, it turned out to be a blessing. Tell God that. Name the blessings. Tell God you are very great. Look at the beginning of the next Psalm. Psalm 104. Oh Lord my God, you're very great. Have you ever told God he's great? God, there's no one like you. I mean, honestly, have you really said to God, Lord, there's no one like you? Never be afraid to approach God and tell him your heart. Never be afraid to approach God and tell him your heart. When you're thankful, thank him. As well as counting out all there is, tell him. You know it was him. And you're grateful to him. And you have to praise him and give thanks to him. The psalmist couldn't get over how good God was. When I look at creation, when I look up to the heavens and see the stars, why is he so good to me? Because God is God and he loves people. He loves his creation. He loves his people that he created. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You Christians, you believers, tell God that he's great. That you believe in him. Lord, I believe, but oh my, it's awful weak. I make mistakes every day and I fail to trust you. Tell God. Christ has opened the way for you to tell God directly how you feel. When you feel hurt, when you feel that God's not with you, tell him. The psalmist is full of it. Why have you left me, Lord? All day I go crying. Go to God. Christ has opened the way that we can have access to God and tell him our heart and to receive his love and his blessings. And to trust in him that the end is not yet. The end is not yet. As we said, God is glorified when you speak to God and when you come to God and tell him you love him. Although you failed him, although you've sinned against him, that you love him and you're going to carry on believing in him. He's glorified in that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say to God that he is good, that there's no one like him. And finally, last, tell yourself, tell God, tell someone else that God is good. Tell someone else when the opportunity arises. Don't go around correcting people. You don't find Jesus going around correcting people. He corrected them when they charged him falsely and wrongly. He went about doing good and speaking good and speaking truth. When people say to you, how did you get through COVID? Are you okay? Yeah, we managed. God is good. That's a witness. That's a witness. God rejoiced at that. God helped me through. I had a happy lot because God was good. Be thankful for what you have. Let people know that you thank God for all you have. That you were special in God's sight and he kept you. Publish among the nations. Make known among the nations. That was said to Israel, you see, that they were to be the witness of God and they were to live such lives that the nations would ultimately come to them and ask them, you know, you've got tremendous harvest, you get on well, you can fight your battles and so on and so forth. Tell them it's because of God. Tell yourself God is good. Tell God that he is good. And tell others that God is good. Well, may God bless to us these thoughts. Let's pray.